Got to find time as usual, though, for the Gadget Detective, our great friend Fevzi Turkalp. You can follow him on Twitter, at Gadget Detective. And you can email him as well if you want to have a chat with old Fevzi. You don't mind us giving out your email address, do you, Fevzi? I just want to check before I do that.
I suppose it's all right.
Would you rather not? Would you rather?
I tell you what, the best way the Twitter to get route? Me is, yes. is through Twitter. It's okay, probably well, the most responsive as well.
We so, will leave it at that, then. And we will hear the big tech story of the week, first of all, which is that Microsoft is shutting down LinkedIn in China. Interesting. Why so?
Well, so LinkedIn, for those that don't know, is a professional social network. So people often use it to look for jobs, but also communicate about their work and so forth. And owned by Microsoft these days, and being shut down in China because it needs to comply with Chinese state, and the Chinese state is not giving permission for it. So LinkedIn is being relaunched as something called InJobs, which is a jobs-only website, but no social interaction. And this is part of a pattern. I mean, certainly as far as LinkedIn is concerned, LinkedIn was recently forced or agreed to blacklist several journalist accounts in China, so including Melissa Chan and Greg Bruno. And Mr. Bruno had written a book documenting China's recent treatment of Tibetan refugees. So they reached out and told them to ban it, and apparently that wasn't enough, and now LinkedIn is coming down in China. It's part of a pattern, this, actually, in China and also in Russia. Apple has recently taken down one of the world's most popular Quran apps, so, you know, the Muslim religious book, and a Christian Bible was brought down as well earlier on, and again, both because they need permission from the Chinese state. So although these are recognized religions in China, it seems that Apple has caved in. And last month, both Apple and Google removed a tactical voting app devised by a jailed Russian opposition leader in Russia, and that had to come down because the Russian state didn't like it. And it is interesting. I mean, whatever one might think about the individual apps and blocking of individual journalists, the trend is clear that China is trying to take a grip. We saw it with banning people from playing online games except for 3 particular hours in the week and so forth. Yeah. So they're doing this. And on the one hand, one might say, you know, when in Rome, do as the Romans do, you have to abide by the laws of the country in which you operate. However, there is some sort of indirect precedent for saying that that should not be the case. I mean, certainly there's laws in this country that prevent English people or British UK people from going abroad and committing acts of paedophilia. It actually becomes an offence in this country. And it's not, you know, it's not completely unreasonable to think that governments in the West, and particularly in America, where most of these companies are based, could introduce legislation actually outlawing companies from complying. Apple is in a particularly difficult position because it not only operates its services there, its whole manufacturing pretty much is done there. So if you upset the Chinese state, no more iPhones and iPads and everything. You'd have to think that although that would hit the Chinese economy, it would hit Apple completely because it has all its manufacturing eggs in one basket. I think it's got some token manufacturing in the United States at the behest of Donald Trump. I think they make the Mac Pro in America, but Mac Pro doesn't sell particularly well anyway. So it is interesting. I mean, I just think it's a bit dark because you've got people like Tim Cook, who actually I like as a person. I think his moral compass is probably more centered than some. But, he was quite keen to criticize, you know, the actions of the American government when it came to certain human rights issues. But when it comes to human rights in China and Russia, it seems that these big companies are complying and kowtowing to the states. And so the answer is, should they be trading in these countries? Should they be providing services in these countries if it can't be consistent with our values and their values?
Well, it's interesting because we've said several times, haven't we, that some of these tech companies now, they're so massive and they're so profitable. Even national governments seem scared of them and won't stand up to them. And here we have the other side of the coin.
Yeah, because China is huge and it's an important market, both for the services that it provides, and as I say, in the case of Apple, because its whole supply chain starts in China. And I just don't think they can afford to hack off the Chinese state, but I think actually they need to.
Yeah.
You know, you can't have moral... I mean, I say this because it's not costing me money to say it, right? But you can't have moral values demarked by national borders. Either you believe something or you don't.
Might it give them the courage if other national governments spoke out or in some more practical way tried to help them in this possibly unequal battle,
well,
do you think?
Well, I mean, there's a US senator called Rick Scott who's called the move as an act of gross appeasement and an act of submission to communist China. That's not exactly support. That's to LinkedIn, by the way. He wrote to the Microsoft boss and the LinkedIn chief executive and said, you know, you are surrender monkeys, essentially, appeasement and submission. And it is. And it's exactly that. It is,
but it's not very helpful tactic, perhaps, if they, you know, if they're supporting them might be better, we're saying.
Well, I think that, you know, I think it's right to criticise them for this. I know that that puts them in an extremely difficult position, but I think it just calls into question whether it's appropriate to actually offer these services in countries where they are controlled and censored in this way.
Could they survive if they pulled the plug? You know, bearing in mind you say that it's not so much providing the services, but the getting all the manufacturing done.
Yeah, I think Apple is in a uniquely difficult position because it's a manufacturer, whereas the others are just providers of online services, essentially. I think what Apple should be doing is diversifying its supply chain. It's not something that it can do in the short term, and particularly in the middle of a chip shortage, as we've discussed before. But it needs to do that. It's not good business. Mm-hmm. It's not good business for the West to use China as its factory, because China is increasingly powerful economically, politically, militarily, and it's flexing all of those muscles, and it is taking over from America as the predominant economy in the world. And we see that, you know, if you only need to look in the South China Seas to see what China is doing there and the way it's flexing its military might. And, you know, America is... I mean, it's quite interesting because Apple is an allegory for America, really, because America is hugely indebted. We always hear about multi-trillion dollar debt ceiling. And yet most of that debt is held by China.
Fascinating. He is the gadget detective, Fevzi Türkalp, onto his gadget of the week. And this week you've gone for a home security system.
Yep, and one of the better ones out there for reasons I will explain. The brand is called Eufy Security. Eufy is spelled EUFY. The product is called, and be careful because there are similarly named products in their range. So this one's called the Eufy Cam, or one word, 2, number 2, Pro. Eufy Cam 2 Pro, not to be confused with the 2C Pro, and I'll point out the difference a little bit later. So this is a wireless home security system. It features two wireless cameras, 2K resolution. So the image that they produce is sharper than the more standard sort of 720p and 1K. It's a little bit sharper. And that's kind of important because if you're trying to recognize some miscreant's face, that extra resolution or in fact a number plate can make all the difference. These cameras can be used indoors or outdoors. They are weatherproofed up to IP67, so they will, you know, take a bit of rain, as it were, but you can equally use them indoors. So you've got two of the cameras and you've got a base station. We'll talk about that in a minute. The fact that they're wire-free is really quite interesting because the two types of wires that you typically have to security cameras are for power and possibly for the internet connection. Now, these use Wi-Fi, so they don't need a wired internet connection. And in terms of power, rather unusually, they have a rechargeable battery in them. Mm-hmm. And they claim that the battery will last for a year on a single charge. Now, I haven't been able to test that because I haven't been testing it for a year. In practice, often it's less than is quoted, but still, right. You know.
And when they say single charge, they don't mean for like 3.5 weeks. They mean like fairly quickly, do they?
No, I think about 5 hours or something.
Oh, right. So, well, that's good if it's true then. Yeah.
Be out of commission for a few hours whilst you do that. So they claim 365-day battery life on a single charge. You can view live images from these cameras and recordings from your smartphone or your tablet or an Amazon Echo Show device, for example, or a Google device. It's got a built-in microphone and speaker, so when someone approaches, you can actually converse with them. So let's say you have it, you know, to the front of your house and someone approaches, you can actually speak to them. You can also say things like, "Oi, you, go away, I've called the police," and things like that. That should be in there. Some of the technology in it to help prevent false detections is interesting. So it's got human detection technology. So it can intelligently detect a shape of a human body and a face. So hopefully things like cats and other animals shouldn't trigger it unless you want it to. Because, by the way, you can use these as a sort of a nature cam as well. You can stick it in your garden because it is wireless, right? You can stick it in a tree or something and record foxes or other wildlife if that's your thing. Doesn't have to be used for security. Now, one of the unique things about this one is that almost all of these systems, other systems, use storage into the internet, into the cloud. So your data is stored in the cloud. And there's two things to say about that. One is you normally then have to pay a subscription charge, which is not insignificant, can run into hundreds of pounds a year, depending on how many cameras you have. And also there's a security aspect that your views of your home and surroundings are going up into the cloud and could conceivably be hacked if they were not properly encrypted. Whereas this one has a home base unit that has a certain amount of storage within it. So you can set it up to just work where all the data is stored locally. Now, the downside of doing that is if it's stored locally and someone breaks in and they steal the unit that's got the recordings, then you've lost your recordings. So a good approach is to record locally, but also link it up with Apple's HomeKit system, which is their sort of generic system that allows you to store, in this case, the video images into your iCloud account. So if you've got Apple devices already and you've got a certain amount of storage on iCloud, you can use it for that. And the benefit is that Apple tend to encrypt things a bit better. They're a bit more trustworthy than some companies, but still, so you have to balance the risk.
Nothing
is going to be perfect, but this gives you those choices. But you almost uniquely, it allows you to set this up and have no costs at all, running costs, because that's often great, the running costs can be more than the other thing. The other thing I like about these ones is that they have not only screw mounts included in the box, but also magnetic mounts. So it really can be as simple as just, you know, sticking it on a garage door or, you know, on a metal frame window or something like that. And you don't have to even screw it to the wall.
But equally easy to take it off again if you're a miscreant.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to put it up at some height.
Yeah, yeah.
And okay. And just finally, I did say that there was a similarly title. So this is the Eufy 2 Pro. There's something called the Eufy 2C Pro, and they're very similar and similarly priced. So I will just summarize the differences for you. The Eufy 2C Pro, which is not the one we're mainly talking about today, has built-in spotlights into the camera. So it means that at night time you can get color pictures as opposed to black and white if you're relying on the infrared sensor inside the thing. So if color is important to you, you can go for that. However, because of that and because of, you know, the fact it's a smaller camera, it has half the battery life. So they quote the battery life as being 6 months, and also no magnetic mounts on the 2C Pro. So if you're inclined to, because doing a magnetic mount is nice because you can move it from location to location as the need may change over time.
Would colour be important to you with a device like this? Why would it be?
Well, if you want to describe some individual who approached you and was wearing a red top or you know, something like that, color is quite important.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's nice to have. Both of them are pretty excellent. Both of them are almost identical devices. The cameras on the 2C, the color ones, the C standing for color, I guess, is physically smaller, so that might be important to you. And also having the light that comes on may also act as a deterrent. So you have to think about that. But if you have to put the camera in a particularly inaccessible location and maybe, you know, you're not fully able-bodied or older and something, you don't want to be shinning up ladders and hanging out of windows, then maybe that 1 year battery life of the 2 Pro might be more important. Mm-hmm. So swings and roundabouts, they're extremely similar. Buy them from somewhere where you can return them within, sort of, say, 30 days without any questions asked, and then you'll have a chance to go through it. But I've given it a 4-star rating out of 5. List price for the 2-camera 2 Pro system is $349.99. I looked at it on a well-known website today, and it's currently selling at £289. And you should keep an eye on it, because the price can go even lower than that from time to time.
Very good. Thank you so much for all of that, Fevzi. If you want to find out a great deal more about a great many gadgety-type things, at Gadget Detective is how you follow him on Twitter. And we shall talk in 7 days.